Oh, here he comes! Minister!
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 How are you? Minister, answer, how's your wife?
Answer the question, Minister!
Counterclockwise, thanks to scoop.co.nz.
All right, it's time for that. It is indeed time for Selwyn. Are you there, Selwyn?
Yeah, hey, John. How are things?
Lovely to speak to you again. Now, this week, I understand you've got cake, and not just any normal kind of cake.
Yes, that grisly, awful yellow cake, concentrated uranium that we're going to talk about. First off, right at the front, and I think we need to applaud, certainly I'll be applauding Patrick Gower's work earlier this week relating to, once again, revisiting this issue of whether, you know, it is safe for New Zealand to allow ships that are carrying yellow cake or concentrated uranium to dock in New Zealand ports. Now, John, this first shipment, and looking back in all the records here, the first shipment of yellow cake, this uranium, it left Adelaide, South Australia on March 24th, 2010. Now, since then, there's been hundreds of thousands of tons, metric tons, of uranium that has actually burst. I've been on board ships that have burst in New Zealand ports, most significantly Lyttelton, Nelson, Napier, Tauranga, where the Rena oil spill's taken place, and some others. Now, those ports have had the ships dock there, obviously, and the ships are then they spend a time in New Zealand, and then off they go across the Pacific and end up on the east coast of the United States, and significantly Philadelphia is the final destination, but they go by way of Colombia and Mexico on their way as well. Now, all of these details, John, they emerged first off in June last year, and news reports noted what I've just kind of said above at that time. And we saw at that time Green Party MP Gareth Hughes raising this issue, and he actually called for a ban on uranium shipments entering New Zealand's waters. So that's where it was. Obviously, what Patrick Gower did with 3 News a couple of nights ago is he had an exclusive report. He had connected the dots to how fragile and vulnerable New Zealand is when things go wrong on our coastline and in the deep sea. He checked with the Port of Tauranga, and the Port of Tauranga had apparently issued a report to the government some time ago where it said, we are concerned about this uranium coming in here. We do not have the facilities to do anything with it should an accident occur. We do not even have the equipment to see whether or not there has been any leak or any radioactivity is left once the ships have left the dock. So it was really important stuff, John, that was raised.
So really they don't have any Geiger counters?
Well, it doesn't sound like it. They actually listed, you know, in Patrick Gower's report, it showed that in this report that came from Tauranga, the ports of Tauranga, to the government, that the fire station in Tauranga, you know, this is, you get down to the basics of this, the fire station didn't have the equipment to monitor whether or not there was any radioactivity around it. If a spill happened, they were clearly, you know, cringing that if there was an accident, some of the stuff, you know, got loose. How do they handle it? There was no plan, and you know, you've got to. I was horrified to actually see that part, and I just thought, great work by 3 News, great work to actually pick up this issue that is of huge national and public importance, and to put it out there. Just looking through, for example, going back, you know, and comparing now to back last year, when this issue came up, Fairfax reported that the Minister of Environment, who was Nick Smith, and he's still the Minister of Environment, you know, National Party MP Nick Smith, that he said Gareth Hughes needed to be clear about the purpose of his complaints and his proposed ban. And a quote here from the Fairfax report, not simply jump on the bandwagon of anything associated with nuclear and raise public fears. And that's what Nick Smith's view was last year. He also added, this is Nick Smith again, what is being talked about here poses little risk to New Zealanders than if they were on holiday in parts of Australia in uranium-rich areas. Well, God, end of quote. I mean, Nick Smith, please, you know, if you're listening to this type of thing, do you go on a holiday to a uranium-rich area in Australia? For goodness sake, you know, if that's his line to try and make us feel good, And he's saying New Zealanders are no more at risk than if you're having a holiday in a uranium-rich area. Well, you know, I think the guy needs to go home and have a big, long sleep and hopefully be on the election day, John.
You know what, the two things really that, I mean, first of all, the Geiger counter issue. We had one of those at our old school when I was a kid. And the second thing is, I always thought that New Zealand had a law against radioactive material coming into its borders.
Okay. Let's talk on that point. We've got to be clear here. There are two things. There's the convention and even perhaps a spirit of the nation type of ethos, and then there's the law. Let's look at the law. The law is the anti-nuclear legislation that passed into law in New Zealand, and way back in 1987, David Longhi championed it along and got it, you know, when he was Prime Minister. Now, what that does is it prevents and makes it unlawful for any ship or vessel or any other kind of thing to come into New Zealand's territory carrying nuclear weapons. What it does not do is prevent New Zealand from establishing nuclear power stations or having nuclear material in our territory. It doesn't do that. But the convention is, and the politicians know, that New Zealanders in general just do not like nuclear stuff, and they have a pride in being nuclear free. So the idea of having nuclear power stations on our soil, while it was only debated a couple of years ago by stakeholder groups attached to the National Party, it has never really been put seriously on the agenda here. So that's the law part. The spirit of New Zealand, in a sense, of being proud of being nuclear free, is what we're talking about here. Now, what this does with this uranium, and this is uranium concentrate, yellowcake.
Yeah.
Now, remember back, you know, the big reason that George Bush's cronies used to invade Iraq was that it suggested that Iraq, Saddam Hussein at that time, had purchased yellowcake from Niger in Africa. And of course it was found out to be bogus later, of course. But that's the excuse. And what they were arguing was is that this stuff, that Iraq was going to make nuclear weapons out of it and start firing them around the joint. So this stuff is serious material. The question went to Nick Smith last year. Is this material destined for peaceful use?
Yeah.
You know, meaning like supposedly medical things and energy nuclear power generation.
Yeah.
And he assured everyone that yes, that's what the case was. And he actually told Parliament last year that the uranium was coming into New Zealand ports was destined to become fuel for nuclear power stations, specifically the company Honeywell, which has nuclear plants in Metropolis, Illinois. Now, the problem being that the New Zealand Herald, when it reported Nick Smith's comment there, it also reported that the US Environmental Protection Agency listed two of Honeywell's plants, both in Minnesota, as manufacturing depleted uranium, for goodness sake. You know, that's the stuff that DU, that is the United States and NATO forces, used against in the first Gulf War around the early 90s, and also against Belgrade when Slobodan Milosevic was the tyrant at the time.
Yeah.
And you know, the problems with DU are being argued all over the place and contributed. You know, put it this way: in one of the attacks that was used by the United States against Saddam Hussein's troops as they were exiting Kuwait on what they call the Avenue of Death, was it bombed its tanks and everything. Now, one projectile of DU hitting those tanks turned them into carbon, and the American soldiers actually referred to the people inside them as crispy critters because they turned to carbon type effigies of what they once were. Now, this is the stuff that's going through New Zealand. My argument here, I suppose, John, is by allowing uranium yellowcake to come through our ports to arrive here and then go to the destinations into the United States where it can be made into who knows what, we are, by a nation, connecting now to the nuclear industry, whether it be nuclear power or weapons around the globe. And that is something that New Zealanders never knew was happening, in my view. And it's something that seems to be in breach, I can't think of another word for it, of New Zealand's wish to remain anti-nuclear as a symbol in the nation, in the world.
And as well, in light of the RINA disaster, are we ready to take, you know, if something goes wrong, are we, we're not ready, so why?
You know, It'd be really interesting to hear what your listeners think about this. Yeah. I really would be keen. You know, I'm spouting off here. This is what I think, and dug around a bit on this issue, you know, since Patrick Gowie's report.
Yeah.
And I'm appalled by the situation personally, but, you know, I'm only one person sitting out. I'd really be keen to hear what other people think about that. To me, it's almost like we've, you know, through silence, we've been hoodwinked along the lines here.
Yeah.
You know, all of us thought nuclear-free New Zealand, you know, but really, how can we stand up in the court of law, perhaps, in arguing issues of morality, which was always our strongest argument, you know, in the United Nations and places, and actually try to actually say, well, you know, we are a nuclear-free nation, represent these kind of ideals. I don't know if we can anymore, you know, when this type of thing is going on. I don't think I could stand up personally and actually say that. We could say we're nuclear weapons-free, but we're certainly not uranium-free, are we?
Well, this is it. It does attack the integrity somewhat, and it's a concern. I'd say that's a concern. You know, where I come from, that's one of the things that you know about New Zealand, you know. Wherever you are in the world, look, they're not mad on nuclear technology, and good luck to them. And, you know, there's a lot of respect for that. And
I know this is the symbol that we've got out there. We're a small nation. We do not have an awful lot going our way as far as being a powerful nation around the globe. The only time we've been able to make a difference is on the strength of the morality of our argument. And this type of stuff undermines our abilities to do even that. Just to reiterate, the Honeywell, this is the company that Nick Smith said the uranium was destined for. And I would suggest that, you know, if you've had ships going left, right and centre since March last year, they wouldn't all be going to this company, Honeywell. So he's certainly not being full with all the facts here. But Honeywell, it also makes nuclear weapons in Kansas City. So, you know, he didn't tell us that, did he? You know, he just said it's for safe means. If this stuff gets out, to go back to the original premise of the argument that we're putting out here, I suppose, John, if you know, luckily it was the RENA in some ways that it wasn't carrying such stuff on board. Just imagine if that stuff was washing up on the shores around the place. Now, what that does, it would be up to the scientists to tell us. Nick Smith tells us that you could stand next to a drum of uranium for 130 hours and you would be exposed to the equivalent of 1 year's natural radiation. Well, that's okay when it's sealed in a drum, Mr. Smith, but what happens if it's actually like those containers that have been ripped open and it's floating all over our coastline? What happens then?
And it's be interesting to say to him, look, Nick, there's a drum of uranium there, mate. Do you want to stand by it for 130 hours? Give it a go. We'll feed you.
Perhaps he could light it with his lighter there and have a bit of a barbecue on it and eat a sausage and prove to us that it's so good.
Look, Selwyn, it's been great having you on again, and I look forward to speaking to you again next week, my friend.
Okay, mate.
Have a great day. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
All right, that was Selwyn Manning there from scoop.co.nz. We have a couple of texts here. Someone's put here, why is it so hard to pronounce nuclear? I don't know. Have I been pronouncing it nuclear? Nuclear? No, nuclear. Nuclear. Yeah. And I'm sure Selwyn was pronouncing it correctly, but there you go. I don't know what you're talking about. Maybe I'm flawed. All right, somebody else has texted in, how long have these yellow cakes been shipping to New Zealand? And as Selwyn said there, that the first, well, the initially it came up last year on the 24th of March. That was when it kind of came to light. All right, coming up after the break, hopefully I'll be speaking to the New Zealand Post Primary Teachers Association President Robin Duff.